And we're all waiting for that ultimate morning, aren't we, when we will be with the Lord. I'd like to mention this morning, Luther Farmer, longtime member of our church, went home to be with the Lord early this morning. His family called, and Luther, super faithful, he and Charlotte here at our church, and he used to be here early Sunday morning. There's some Sunday mornings when I'm here at 8:30 just for whatever reason, and Luther would meet me in the ministry center and say, "Pastor, you're late." And I'd say, "Luther, church doesn't even start till 9:30. I'm not late. I'm an hour early." And he would say, "Okay, well, I got a pot of coffee on," and he would always one of the first people here. We miss Luther when he moved to be with his daughters, but I said to him, "Aren't you glad your kids love you?" And they just surrounded him with love after Charlotte went home to be with the Lord. And now Luther is in heaven. Amen. And so we are thankful for that promise. We will put somewhere an address, probably on the bulletin board, if you'd like to send condolences to Luther's family. That would be nice as a church family if you would like to do that. We invite your attention this morning. We're going to land eventually in Ephesians chapter 4, but if you'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 first, okay? We are in a series of messages that I am calling What a Fellowship. And of course, we always think of the hymn, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy to Mine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." But actually, I'm thinking of the word fellowship, which is in the New Testament, is the Greek word koinonia. And it is used in different passages of Scripture to give us a bigger understanding of fellowship. Oftentimes, we think of fellowship as a church. We're going to have macaroni and cheese over in the ministry center, right? And we often think of fellowship as a mealtime and just getting together for food, and that is part of it, but fellowship is so much more, isn't it? We said, remember, that fellowship is based on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we talked about union with Christ, who we are in Christ, and we talked about communion with Christ, which is how we grow in our relationship with Him. Remember, morning, noon, and night. We want to spend time with God's Word, and we want to pray, and we want to be focused on Him, and we grow in our relationship with Him. That is part of our fellowship. We talked about spiritual fellowship and how we encourage one another to grow spiritually. And that's part of what the church ministry is all about. It's not just getting together socially, but we encourage each other. We challenge one another by praying for one another, challenging one another, encouraging one another. There's a whole bunch of other one another's in the Scripture that we could dig into, but spiritual fellowship. Last week, we looked at a big picture. We said reaching the world together. And we talked about basically missions, but we talked about how we can be involved in ministries bigger than our own personal ministry, bigger than our own church ministry. We can literally touch the world with our prayers and with our giving. And we gave that illustration at the end of the sermon that the mine is deep, the diamond mine is deep, and we are called as Christians to hold the ropes to those who are going down. Amen? And so we pray for our missionaries, and we give so that people can be involved in ministry, and that is how we literally partner together for the gospel. So we looked at the world. Now today, I'd like to kind of pull it in a little bit. And by that, I mean I'd like for us to again look at our congregation here at Southside Baptist Church. Today we're going to talk about serving together. Serving together. And actually, this week and next week, we're going to talk about a topic that we see in the pages of Scripture. Maybe you have heard of it before. And the topic is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Now, I just want to read a definition of spiritual gifts, and then we're going to lay some foundation, and then we're going to look at our Ephesians 4 passage, basically as an introduction to next week's sermon, okay? Unless you want to stay all afternoon, we'll get it all over with. No, we'll do part one today and part two next week, okay? Here's our definition, and I borrow this from Jerry Bridges, who writes for the Navigators, and this, I think, is a good workable definition of spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is an ability given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform the specific function within the body of Christ that God has assigned to each of us. Now, we could tear apart that definition, and it really could be an outline for a sermon, couldn't it? The spiritual gift is ability given by God. You see, God is the giver of these spiritual gifts, is the root of these things. And a spiritual gift is more than just a natural ability, but it is a gift that is given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit. How do we serve the Lord as Christians today? Well, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gives us the energy and the spiritual power that we need to do things that are bigger than us. And isn't the ministry bigger than any one of us? Isn't the ministry of the gospel bigger than any one of us? And so I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit empowers us to perform the specific function within the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives us that image of, does the eye say to the hand and does the nose say to the ear, and that picture of the body. And we are challenged that every part of the body has a function. And every part of the body has something important to contribute to the health of the church. And we know the body is the church of Christ. Amen? You have a role to play. You are a piece of the puzzle of the ministry at Southside Baptist Church. You have a spiritual gift that God wants you to use. And it has been assigned to you. And so it's important that we know what God wants us to do. And it's important that we are obedient to do what God has asked us to do for the health of the body, so that the church can be as strong as it can and needs to be. Someone gave this illustration, and I had to kind of dig around in my notes in my office about spiritual gifts. Now, next week we're going to look at a list of gifts and some definitions and those kinds of things. But how might spiritual gifts work out at a church fellowship? Okay? Use your imagination. Here's the story. The church is getting ready to serve dessert. Can everybody say amen? The person bringing the beautiful dessert to the table trips, and the dessert falls on the floor. There is the episode. Now, here's how different gifts may come into practice. The person who has the gift of prophecy might say, "That's what happens when you're not careful." A person who has the gift of mercy says, "Don't feel bad. Anybody could do that." A person who has the gift of service says, "Hey, let me help you clean that up." A person who has the gift of teaching might say, "The reason that it fell was it was too heavy on one side. Next time you should carry it in the middle." The person who has the gift of exhortation says, "Don't worry about it. From now on, we'll just serve dessert first and put it in the middle of the table so it won't fall." Good idea. The person who has the gift of giving might say, "I'll buy a new dessert." The person who has the gift of administration says, "Jim, you get the mop. Sue, you get the plate. Mary, go fix some more dessert." So we kind of see an interaction of not only personality types, but really spiritual gifts functioning within the body of Christ. And as I read that, I thought to myself, I can see that happening at Southside Baptist Church. And because I've been around most of you for a long time, I know who will say, "That's your fault, it fell." I know who will say, "Go get a mop." I know who will say, "I'll help you fix it." I know who will say, "I'll buy a new dessert." Because we know, I know as pastor, some of your spiritual giftedness. Now the challenge over the next couple weeks is, do you know your spiritual giftedness? And are you using your spiritual gifts for the health of the body of Christ and for application for the health of Southside Baptist Church? Are you using the gifts that God has given you? A spiritual gift is the ability given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform the specific function within the body of Christ that God has assigned to each of us. And it's more than just a natural ability. It is an ability that is given by the grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. These are some foundational principles as we discuss spiritual gifts. And here's the first foundational principle I'd like to share with you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "As each of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Here's what I want you to know this morning. According to the Scriptures, the purpose of all spiritual gifts is to serve others and to glorify God. Did you get that? The purpose of all spiritual gifts is to serve others and to glorify God. Now, I'll probably bump into these passages next week, but 1 Corinthians, they were coveting each other's gifts. I wish I could be a teacher. I wish I could have that gift. I wish I could have that gift. I wish I could have that gift. And Paul basically said to them, quit arguing about who has the better gift and who's doing, but use the gift that has been given to you to serve others, not to exalt yourself, but to glorify God. Now, friends, isn't the emphasis of the Christian life service? Jesus said, "I did not come to be served," right? "But I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many." Jesus is our example. Jesus, you talk about gifted, you know, he was the Son of God. Miracles and everything, teaching, everything. But everything he did, as we look at his earthly ministry, was for others. And it was for the glory of God. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my own works. I came to do the works of him who sent me." And so everything he did was for the good of others and for the glory of God. Now that phrase has been rattling around in my brain all week, and I hate it when my own sermon convicts my heart. That's not fun. But it's been rattling around in my brain. Everything I do, is it for the good of others and for the glory of God? As you live your life this week and as you participate in ministry at Southside Baptist Church and you're doing whatever you do, here's the question. Is it for the good of others and the glory of God? Is it for the good of others and the glory of God? And may I say to you this morning, it is a privilege to serve the Lord, isn't it? Thank you, Merle. You see, I give him a dollar every time he says amen. And he's working on his retirement fund and for the good of others and for the glory of God. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. I like what 1 Peter says. It talks about we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. We talk about spiritual gifts. It is the word charisma, which is very closely related to the word grace. Grace. So serving the Lord is a privilege. By the grace of God, we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so the question this morning should rattle in your heart and take it with you in your brain this week. Is what I'm doing for the good of others and for the glory of God? Second foundational principle, and I thought about starting with this one, but I thought, well, I like starting with the good of others and the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here's the discussion of the body. We read in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. Now verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There might be someone here today under the sound of my voice who would say, "Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I do not have a spiritual gift." That's not true. Every Christian has a spiritual gift and a part to play in the body of Christ. Every Christian, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of you for the profit of all. the good of others, and the glory of God. Every Christian has a gift, and every gift is important. Now, by their nature, there are some gifts that are public. My gifts are public. 90% of what I do is in front of other people. And that has its own spiritual challenges and its own spiritual dangers as I live my life in front of other people. But that's the role that God has called me as your pastor and as a teacher and all those things. I'm in front. But you know what? There are a lot of gifts that are not visible that are very, very important. Oh, well, Pastor, I could never stand up on the stage. Well, maybe you don't need to stand up on the stage. There might be something else that you should be doing in the body of Christ for the good of others and for the glory of God. And every Christian has a gift. And every spiritual gift is important in the body of Christ. Verse 12 says this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now that's almost a tongue twister, but many and one. Did you get the emphasis there? Many different gifts, many different parts, members, but all are one in the body of Christ. Every gift is important. Every believer has a gift. Every gift is important. For one by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. All have been made to drink of one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, it would look strange, wouldn't it? That's in the Greek there. But if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, then where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Every gift is important. I think one of the strategies of the devil is this. You don't have anything to offer. You're not good enough. You don't know enough. You're not spiritual enough. And so when we make appeals for help or when there are needs in the church, you just kind of sit there because you've got that rattling around in your brain. I don't have anything to offer. And my challenge to you this morning is, yes, you do. Every believer has a spiritual gift, and every spiritual gift is important, and it is for the good of others and for the glory of God. So we need to know that. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I forgot my books of the Bible. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, there it is. Sometimes I have to sing in my head to find the right verse, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, and actually it's probably, let me see, I probably have the wrong. Verse 14, I have verse 4 down, but it's verse 14. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy, and we talked about this a few weeks ago when we were talking about finishing the race. But verse 14, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." Now that's just a small verse, but let me just kind of stretch it out for you and make this application. Every spiritual gift should be developed and exercised. Okay? Every spiritual gift should be developed and exercised. Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that you have. I believe Timothy had the gift of teaching. He had the gift of pastoring, pastor-teacher. And so he said, don't neglect that gift, but develop it. You're just a young man, and don't let anyone despise your youth, and walk close with the Lord, and read, and study, and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but develop the gift that you have been given. We could take a survey if we were in a smaller setting. Those of you that have been involved in teaching, do you remember the first time you taught a Sunday school class? Do you remember how scared you were You remember how you were so nervous, and you were an adult, and your class was made up of 4- and 5-year-olds, and you were terrified. And you read the material, and you taught, and you were scared to death. But as I look out in this room, some of you have been doing it for 25, 30, 40, you add on the years. You've been doing it a long time. And isn't it a lot different today than when you first started? I hear preachers, they say, they give their testimony about their first sermon, and they get up and they studied all week long, and they get up to preach, and they're nervous, and they're shaking, and their knees are knocking, and they get up and they deliver this powerful message that they studied all week long, and they're done in 5 minutes. And the deacons look around and they don't know what to do, so they sing 2 or 3 songs, have a testimony service, and read some scripture and go home. And that memory of that first sermon stays with you. I've been doing it for a long time. I'm not going to tell you how long I've been preaching, a long time. So now my problem's not keeping it short. My problem's not keeping it long. My problem's keeping it short. But you develop your gifts. And people that have known me for a long time, maybe from a previous ministry, or when I preached when I was in college, or even when I was a teenager, they'll say, "Oh, boy, you've grown or you've changed." And I just look at them and smile and say, "I hope so. I hope so. I've been studying my Bible more. I've been doing it more. I've been practicing more. So I hope that I'm more effective than I was when I first started." Now, I'm just using that as an illustration. Plug that into any ministry. Being a trustee. Remember the first trustees meeting you were in, and they asked you questions. You didn't know what to do, and you were given a church key, and you were scared to death. You know, what am I going to do with this church key? And you were afraid you were going to lose it. Then you did lose it. And, oh no, you know. You had that responsibility, you know. But now, after you've done it year after year after year, you're developing that gift. You're using that gift. How? Why? For the good of others and for the glory of God. And we are challenged to develop our gifts. And what's the best way to develop a gift? Exercise it. Use it. Exercise it. Use it. That's the best way. Have you ever heard this expression before? Use it or what? There you go. Use it or lose it. If you have a spiritual gift, you have a responsibility to be using that gift, developing that gift for the glory of God and for the good of others. Now let's go to Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. There it is. Beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." This is talking about Jesus ascending into heaven and him giving gifted people to the church for the work of the ministry. So this is spiritually gifted leaders who are using their spiritual gifts. But there are some principles here that are very, very powerful for us. Verse 12 says this, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." Now, I think I had you underline that a long time ago in your Bible. We looked at that passage. Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. David Jeremiah is a wonderful communicator, and in his study Bible, he outlines this passage of Scripture with just some key words that I think will be an encouragement to you. What does it look like when believers use their spiritual gifts? When we are using our spiritual gifts for the good of others, for the glory of God, in the context of church, in the context of local church, what does it look like? What happens when believers are doing that? And as I looked at this list, I thought, that's what I want to happen at Southside Baptist Church. Believers are equipped. Did you see that in verse 12? God gave these gifted people to the church for the equipping of the saints. The equipping of the saints. Now, equipping is a great word picture, but it's almost like picking up your tools. Having what you need. If you're a soldier, you go to the quartermaster and you get your stuff. You know, whether it's a gun or a duffel bag or body armor, whatever. You get whatever you need for the assignment that's been given to you. If you're a teacher, you go and you check out whatever you need from the office so that you can be equipped to do the job that you need to do in the classroom. If you're a custodian, you go to the custodian closet and you unlock it and you pull out your supplies, your garbage can, the cleaner stuff, and your brush and your broom and your vacuum cleaner so that you are equipped to do what you need to do. Now here's the wonderful thing. The church is a place where all of us can get equipped to do what God has called us to do. Whatever your spiritual gift is, you can be equipped to do what God has called you to do. And part of the ministry of the church is to equip you. Part of the ministry of the pastor teacher is to equip you so that you can do the work of the ministry. You're equipped. Ministry is enhanced. I like that. The equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, when one person's doing everything, not much gets done, right? One person can be effective, but if he's doing everything, then there's a lot not being done, right? But when everybody is using their gift, more is accomplished for the glory of God. Using your gift enhances the ministry. I'm so thankful that Southside Baptist Church is bigger than David Altman, because I'm not that big. But we can do things in our community. We can do things as a ministry. We can do things through missions. We can do things through prayer. We can do things beyond our imagination. Why? Because we're functioning as a body and we're using our gifts, and the ministry is enhanced. We're equipped for the ministry and the ministry is enhanced. And you notice also the church is edified for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify means to be built up. So our church is being built up as people function together, doing what God has called them to do, using their spiritual gifts. You're not only equipped to do it, but you do it. And when you do it, the church is edified. Amen? The church is built up. I like what verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, into Him who is the head, even Christ." The verse before that talks about being no longer children tossed to and fro and being deceived by false doctrine and so forth. But it is in the context of church, and it is in the context of people using their spiritual gifts, that new Christians are established in their faith. They are established in their faith. They're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One of the best pieces of advice I would give to a new believer is this: come to church. You know, yes, they should read their Bible. Yes, they should pray. But it is amazing what God will do if you are here on Sunday mornings under the sound of God's Word in Sunday school and in church. It is an opportunity for you to be established in your faith. I don't want to say it's by osmosis, but being here means a lot. And listening means a lot. And so many people's Christian lives are weak because they're not where they need to be on a Sunday morning. I just want to challenge you that if we're all functioning together, if we're doing what God has called us to do in the body of Christ, the new believers, new Christians are established in their faith. Verse 16, The church is effective, the whole body joined together, what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Isn't that interesting that the word effective is there? We're not just floundering. Paul said, you know, when I preach the gospel, I don't want to be just a shadow boxer. I don't want to just be playing games, but I want to see God working. And so the Bible says when we function together as a body, God does work. Boy, that sounds like a good place for amen. When we function together as the body of Christ, God does work. Okay. I was almost had you do it again, but I won't. We're effective when we work together. We're effective when we exercise and use our spiritual gifts, whatever they might be. It might be a public gift. It might be a behind-the-scenes gift. But we need to do it all together for the good of others, for the glory of God, and that helps our church be effective. And then this is a hallelujah, amen. Effective working for which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The congregation is enlarged. Do you want your church to grow? Do you want Southside Baptist Church to grow? Well, the way we grow is by functioning together, using our spiritual gifts, doing what God has called us to do for the good of others and for the glory of God. And the Bible says the outflow of that, the results of that, is the body being edified, being built up, being growing for the glory of God. Our church can grow if everybody does their part. God wants to use you. I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning about spiritual gifts and give you the definition again. And I want you to think today as we kind of close out our time together today, what is your spiritual gift? How is God using you now? How do you fit in the ministry of Southside Baptist Church? God wants to use you. And that's not just Pastor Altman giving you a pep talk. That's the Bible speaking. He wants every Christian to be connected to ministry using their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. A spiritual gift is an ability given by God and empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform the specific function within the body of Christ that God has assigned to each of us. And we've seen all the principles here. You have a spiritual gift if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be using it for the good of others and for the glory of God. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Our ensemble's making their way to the platform to help us with the invitation. And I'm not sure how the message has landed on you today, in your heart today. I do understand that the focus of it was aimed at Christians. The very first sentence was every Christian, every believer has a gift given by God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I'm not a Christian. If I were to die right now, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven. But being here today and being with God's people here at Southside Baptist Church, my heart has been touched and I want to get right with God. If that's what's going on in your heart right now, in just a minute when we sing, would you step out from your seat and come and just say, Pastor, I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. I want to get right with God. You express it any way you need to, and I'll help you. We'll help you with the Word of God to make that decision today. Christian friend, maybe you were uncomfortable, as the pastor said, everybody needs to be doing something, and you were sitting there today saying, well, I'm not sure what I'm doing. We understand there are physical limitations. We understand there are time constraints. We understand all of those things. But not only do we understand it, even more than that, God understands it. And He still wants you to be involved in some way. Maybe you'd like for me to pray with you. Just say, Pastor, I want to be involved in ministry, but I don't know what that's going to look like. Will you pray with me? I'll be glad to pray with you this morning. And we'll work with you to get you connected so that you can use your spiritual gifts in the body of Christ for the good of others and for the glory of God. I'm going to lead us in prayer and then we'll stand and sing together. Father, thank you for your word. use it in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me?